you're here. Fellowship sweet up, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. Returning into the studios here at the Great News Radio Center, Lincoln Square, Urbana, coming up on 2 years. I know yesterday with Kathleen Jennings here in the studio, we were marveling at 10 months that we've been producing the Primelife Times. As we look at the wall, we have all the additions in these plastic display wrap things that kind of connect to the wall, and then underneath them we have, I don't know, 20 editions of the Primelife Times from that month. So it's a very colorful wall display. And then if somebody stopped by and says, oh, do you have the May edition that, you know, included all the distribution locations? Yep, run right here. Just take it. And anyways,
good idea you had to do that.
Well, it needed a visual.
Yeah.
And then it's so colorful.
It is.
And it's fun to look at. But again, as we look at, we're already a week into August.
Yeah.
In September, we'll be coming up on 2 completed years here.
Yeah.
And then entering our 3rd year. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Wow. But anyways, you're back today because yesterday we read a really neat story that Kathleen Jennings wrote. And
I enjoyed that.
Got to honor our vets. And yeah, I was learning a lot of history about the involvement of the American troops being stationed in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And so many of the immigrants coming to America were from Ireland, England, Scotland, you know, Europe.
Right.
Various parts of the world for that matter, but that many of our Americans served over there. And, you know, when they mentioned castles and, you know, Lord so and so.
Oh, you picked up on that, Lord Mayor Mark.
Yeah, Lord Mayor Mark Manager.
Well, it was, they didn't say manager, but anyway, Lord Mayor Mark Manager. I was impressed, and you were too, that the people were grateful that the American troops made that effort and went there and did that.
Served and made a difference, and we're fighting the Nazis and the regime. And then they gave us, again, an appreciation for the veterans and those that have served. And oftentimes, I think the man gets the credit because most of the military were men, but so many women had so many roles and behind the scenes. So if the serviceman was sent or was serving overseas, he still left behind his family, and so the wife and the many women sacrificed in a different way, and many worked in factories or in healthcare or in different munitions plants. I mean, all these different things. So the burden or the credit really goes to all those families and loved ones that sacrificed their, you know, their mate to be sent over and to serve.
War touches everybody, even the children whose parents or father was sent off.
So good program, and it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. So if you like, I'm kind of intrigued, I want to know a little more about that story.
Yeah.
You can read it yourselves in the Primelife Times at our website, primelifetimes.com. But you can hear our remarks and Kathleen reading the story that she wrote at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And there's an archived programs link. And if you go to that, you can scroll down literally the last, like, 5 or 6 years of programs.
I'm just so glad you have those archives because so many times people were like, oh, I missed a program. And you just, like, go to the archives.
Yep.
And they get to hear it.
So it was just really neat reading the story, highlighting what God's doing through veterans and through this Prime Life Times paper. And again, you can read it at theprimelifetimes.com or pick up your free copy at around 200 area locations our 11 counties.
Yeah, I know. I like that. I like it that the paper has this panorama of historical things like what Kathleen is writing and more human interest. And then there's just a wide variety of things.
Articles and content. And you oversee that. And you're always looking for additions to our Prime Life Times. And I want to add all that you have lots of ideas and lots of great content, but we need some advertisers
we
we can pay for it. So
I have a lot of ideas, folks.
Yeah, we could really expand the paper, but if you have a service or a product or something that you want to help us get the word out about, and you want to be placed in a quarter page, half page, full page in our Prime Crime Life Times, which could include radio mentions, let us know. We'd love to feature your helpful service or your value-added service.
And it's kind of a win-win. I mean, it is advertising for the company or the service, but it's also just really supporting a positive influence in these communities.
Yeah, through this paper. Yeah. And it's a part of this radio ministry, which we're a nonprofit, 501c3. Right. So there have been some people that have just donated towards the Prime Life Times. In fact,
so
I think I'm going to put a little ad, or would you like to donate and help us continue providing this paper free of charge to thousands of people throughout East Central Illinois? I need some of you to catch the vision to see the unique work that God's doing through this paper. Great God-honoring content, helpful content, encouraging content. We call it informative, engaging, and positive. And so it's great content. It helps people learn about this radio ministry and the work that we're doing through Great News Radio. And like I said, we're in Walmarts, we're in malls, we're in healthcare facilities and restaurants and businesses. And it's furthering the ministry cause of Great News Radio to educate, edify, and evangelize. But if you catch the vision and you're somebody that loves to read or loves the printed word, this is a unique way that God has given us to get the mission of this radio station out to people that read and follow this newspaper.
You know, one thing that matters to me is that so many of our contributors and writers are Christians. Yeah. And a person doesn't have to be a Christian to write in the paper. I'm not saying that, but so many are, including the newest one on the very front page, Diane Buller, who goes to Windsor Road. And so many of them, that just comes through their writing.
Right.
It just comes through this kind of quality, hopeful, message.
Yeah. And like you've said, and I do appreciate it, it doesn't have to have a scripture verse or a citation to a biblical story in every paragraph.
Yeah, many quite a few do. Yeah.
But the intent is to win people over with a good message, with an informative, engaging, positive
story.
Good
ways of living.
Yeah. And they, you know, as they talk with some of the content contributors, or they tune into the radio ministry because they see the different announcements about events that we have, or, you know, our staff photograph and our frequencies listed in there, we see God using this to introduce people in this very unique way at the Walmarts, at the grocery stores, where they pick up the paper, and they've been reading it. Some have read this paper for 25, 27 years. It's been out for many years. Mm-hmm. And they may probably say, wow, it seems like there's something different about the
paper. Well, somebody said that to me yesterday.
Yeah, because there's God-honoring stories.
It's just different,
yeah.
I mean, what is that one scripture, and I'm going to clearly not know it to quote it right, but it talks about how let your witness be getting along with neighbors and being at peace.
Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven.
As far as is possible, it says, with you, live in a way that just nourishes and puts out all this goodness. I like that.
So the Prime Life Times, if you send in a donation and you say, hey, help this be targeted or going towards the advancement of the kingdom work that you're doing in the Prime Life Times, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Our mailing address, we don't do fundraisers, we don't have these preempting programs because we need X amount of funds. God has miraculously been able to allow us to pay for our costs, but this Prime Life Times, It does cost, and the advertising isn't enough to carry the paper, at least yet.
Yeah.
And so your help and your support would go a long way towards us continuing to have this being a thriving paper. And I know Marianne is begging me, more pages, I have more content, I have great stories,
I have
so many things, we need to be back up to 32, 36, So help us with that. And our address is Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And if you wanted to target it specifically towards the Prime Life Times, just in the memo, put Prime Life Times donation, and we'll see that those funds get put into the special account that's helping pay for all the costs with the Prime Life Times.
Who was it said the other day? PLT, Prime Life Times, and PTL, Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I think I was getting those confused when I was trying to.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, is typically the case on Tuesdays, we read a chapter from Memories of an African Son, S-U-N, by our very own Marianne Simpkins. And today's, it's called Community, correct?
Yeah, this is
chapter 9.
Okay. We just finished talking about that we were a medical mission. So moving on to chapter 9, Community. one of the first things I learned upon arriving at our mission station was that we were a community. Not in an idealistic or abstract sense, but in the concrete sense, that we depended on each other in a real way. The survival of our station depended upon contribution by its members and upon cooperation and friendship.
Gosh, it reminds me of the Prime Life Times and this great news radio ministry.
Yeah.
You know, we're a community here, everyone.
Yeah.
Together we do better.
Oh, I like that. That's a great phrase. I had been fortunate to come from a place, Johnson Bible College in Tennessee, where the strains of the music of community already played strong in my mind. Located in Appalachian country, with a dairy farm at its center for income, the school had a motto that anyone who would work at manual labor and contribute their efforts could come to school, even if they couldn't pay. So I had a strong foundation for the concept of community. All the children and teenagers at the station called every adult other than their own parents aunt or uncle. My parents were suddenly Aunt Mary and Uncle Cyril, but the feeling of family and community ran deeper than verbal acknowledgement.
That's very true of the Chinese community,
too.
Everyone's aunts and uncles and sisters and so forth.
To this day, I call all those people Aunt Margaret, Aunt this, Aunt that, Uncle so-and-so, These were the people we went to when something happened in the middle of the night. These were the people who would put out fires if they sprung up, brought food to the sick, saved us from snakes that made their way into our house, who loaded up Land Rovers and went to look for anyone who was lost.
Now, somebody tuning in for the first time.
What am I listening to?
Into the house. Yes, Mary Ann Simpkins, her folks were missionaries to Africa, various parts, sometimes way out in the bush. Basically, we'd almost say the no man's land, way out there. And so this book titled Memories of an African Son, which incidentally is available here at the Great News Radio Center, but she's recounting some of these memories. So if you build a little context, we're in Africa. You're about...
Oh, at this point. I'm just writing in general, so, you know, 9, 10, 11, whatever.
Okay. Years old.
They had us over for dinner over and over, shared with others when they didn't have enough, and helped repair the truck. There was simply no one else. Stripped of some of the trappings of modern civilization, people were the key, and we banded together for survival and purpose. We understood the value of the people, both in the villages around us and on our mission station. Many of the adults at our station were experts in their own right, in their particular fields of study, and they pitched in to teach us children. My father taught history to some of the older grades. The pharmacist who had come to work at the hospital to support the doctor and nurses taught science. He also taught me how to play the piano. I learned how to sew from the doctor's wife, a delightful, dear, petite woman at our mission. Once a week, during the hours when the electricity was on, my mother sent me down to her house, and for 3 hours she showed me how to carefully cut patterns, use her sewing machine, and proudly smiled at the dresses and skirts I managed to produce.
Pause here for a second. Well, two different things. Once a week during the hours when the electricity was on. You know, we're so used to in America, we plug in. We always have access to whatever we need almost most any time. Foods, air conditioning, electric, everything. I mean, pretty
spoiled.
It wasn't
on every day, but we would siphon off the electricity from the hospital for a few hours. Her little kitchen.
Oh, and then back to these dresses that you made.
Yeah, so I managed to produce. That's a real thing. Managed to.
Do you still have any of these dresses?
No. No. Her little kitchen was warm and fragrant as we made sugar cookies together after some of her sewing lessons. My art teacher was the pharmacist's wife. A fine artist herself, she was also generous with time and effort as she taught our class to draw. She would set out various pieces of clay pottery or flowers and show us how to think in artist terms. With her dark head bent over her work, she explained how to hold the brush, create depth, and shade. I personally did not turn out to be anyone's prize student in art. To my dismay, I could barely draw. But the art teacher's efforts gave me a great appreciation for the art that others could amazingly produce. I held on to my best piece of work, a clay water pot drawing, for many years.
Hey, I'm just thinking, it's interesting, this concept here, to think in artist terms.
Yeah.
She trained you that, but I think what you do, because you're a life coach, you help people think in certain terms, too, in positive terms, in value terms. I'm thinking you probably took some of those teachings that were like a different field, like her having you try to think as an artist, where you try to have people think in terms of, look at your abilities, look at your uniqueness. Look, and so it's almost like a different thing, but similar, I think.
Oh, my goodness, Mark.
I have to think
that's
that through.
That's so amazing. Thank you. Yes.
I think there's a connection
here. It's very similar.
Here. Yeah. So
thank you.
You do that for me and others. Think creatively. Think outside the box. Think of these things. So I think you're kind of doing it, and you do that as a life coach where people maybe are insecure or what do I have to offer, and you help them value. And like probably this artist. Yeah, you weren't maybe the best drawer, but she did open your mind. And your concept to thinking about that. So.
Yeah, that is a really true point.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
That's really great. The children and teenagers at our station were also put to work. Real, meaningful work. Some were taught to do significant medical tasks at the hospital, and they were a great help to the doctor and nurses. One learned to help keep the generator running. Another helped draw up construction plans for a building. They carried out numerous chores and tasks around the mission. The older ones could drive Land Rovers through the bush. I have no idea if they had a license or anything of the sort. And later, some learned to fly small planes. Their exploits were daring. Sometimes we got into trouble. Many were skilled trackers and hunters and highly adept at understanding their way through the bush country for days on end. They were risk takers. The children on that mission station and at our other mission areas were hardy. It's the word that always comes to my mind when I think of them. I don't know if they innately started out that way or if they just grew to be that way due to our circumstances, but the stamina and sheer undiluted grit that they showed impressed me then and impresses me now. Their adventures and tales would fill volumes. For a long time, I wondered why it was that I turned out to be such an individualist, since I was raised in so many strong community environments. Then it finally dawned on me that the communities I grew up in were, in fact, part of the reason. In a good community, everyone counts and is counted on. Individuals matter and are taught to carry their own weight. These days, the word community sometimes seems to connote some notion of other people doing things for you, of you not having to work quite as hard. Yes, the sharing of talents is part of a community, but in the communities I grew up in, it was not so much about what a person would get out of others as it was about everyone doing their own part and making things work.
Like a church, too.
Yeah. It was about going above and beyond. Somehow, it created in me a paradoxical combination of individualism and a strong sense of how my decisions and actions affect the whole. I sped around the mission station many days on my treasured Raleigh bicycle. I rode until the paths around the station and to nearby villages simply ran out, and there were only bushlands left. My bicycle had a tire pump, tire patches, a spanner, and assorted other tools strapped here and there. I learned early that riding a bike in the bush meant being prepared. Often, I rode with my pet chameleon on my arm.
That's classic.
Yeah, flying across the dirt roads of our station. I have no idea if the chameleon enjoyed these daring rides, racing along with me as the air rushed in our faces, but in retrospect, I imagine he did not. He clung on valiantly, though, until we returned home. There's an African proverb, so old that there are many variations of it, that says, in essence, that it takes a village to raise a child. It was true on our mission station, and it was true in the villages we lived among. We don't forget people with whom we shared a singular adventure. The ties that bind us to those with whom we experienced great things are strong. I was lucky. I was fortunate to ride my Raleigh from person to person on the Circle Dirt Road and learn such an assortment of things. Personally, I think this is a little piece of what Jesus was getting at when he said to his disciples, "Let the little children come to me." Luke 18:16. The disciples had been sending the children away, so important things could be done. If our communities and our cultures are too busy to stop, teach, and take care of the children wandering among us, then what are we really accomplishing? What are we possibly creating if we have missed being the communities who stop and hear the children? God help me to always have the time and the energy for children. For what is a community if it misses being there for its littlest or its oldest members? Help me to find ways to create community around myself that includes them, and to support everyone else who is doing that as well. Please stop me when I think any activity is more important than they are. Help me to always remember that the Lord I serve stopped everything to be with the children.
Wow, Luke 18:16. I think we all need to read that and ponder what was just read and what God would be speaking to all of us because of our busy schedules. Wow, we're out of time. So much more that could be said. This is a great book. We highly recommend you purchasing multiple copies for friends and neighbors and family members. You can pick it up here at the Great News Radio Center. It's titled Memories of an African Son by Mary Ann Simpkins, or you can purchase it online too. Just put in Memories of an African Son. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mary Ann Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
God bless.